Blog Talk Radio.
This is the 21st century, and we need to redefine revolution. This planet needs a people's revolution, a humanist revolution. Revolution is not about bloodshed or about going to the mountains and fighting. We'll fight if we are forced to. But the fundamental goal of revolution must be peace. We need a revolution of the mind. We need a revolution of the heart. We need a revolution of the spirit. The power of people is stronger.
California, birthplace of the Black Panther Party. Here it is, here September 1st, 2018. You hear Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced tonight. I'm your host and executive producer, Shabaka Sankara, Mad Dr. D producer, Demacy Love associate producer. Tonight we're having, for the last night, tonight we're having free pieces because we've been getting a lot of controversy for the last couple of episodes that we've been having them on. And tonight's episode is self-hatred and cognitive dissonance. And we're having an open mic discussion on self-hatred and white supremacy. The cognitive dissonance of the Negro is real. And I want to give a shout out there to all the RBGs up in the Pacific Northwest. Also, too, shout out there to New Era Detroit, New Era Chicago, Black Eye Stand Radio. RBGs up in the Pacific Northwest as well, too. And also, too, of course, of all of our listeners out here in the Bay Area, California, and what have you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to introduce Brother Isaiah, one of our featured commentators this evening, who's calling in from Baltimore, Maryland.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's midnight, and I'm from the East Coast. I'm hanging in there. What's up, Brother Shabaka?
Yes, sir. Okay, what we're dealing with is, once again, man, for the last time, is because of the producers and what have you, man, on this platform, and plus that such as yourself, we know how we feel.
Right.
What this brother's been saying. And like I said, and disclaimer is that he speaks for himself. right. pretty much support his platform. But however, this is all part
right.
of the Black experience. And also, too, we have another guest who's going to speak with us briefly this evening, you know, very well-read brother, very educated brother as well, too, coming to us from Oakland, California tonight. Okay, folks, please give us a call with your comments, questions, and concerns. Our podcast is mm-hmm. out there on Facebook and Twitter as well, too, at 646-564-9630. Press 1 to speak live on the air. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm bringing in Free Peace. He gets to speak for the first 3.5 minutes on what he has to say. Hey, Free Peace, you there?
Let me cover my ears.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you loud and clear, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I guess we want to play a little bit different because I want to know what the women have to say, what women are out there listening. I want to know. I mean, I've heard the fellas, and we've all rehashed we all spoke our piece between the last two episodes. So anyway, I want to hear whether they agree with me or not, whether they like me or hate me. You know,
okay,
they can call
well,
so I want to hear what they have to say. So,
okay, well, that's just it, though. So, well, we already gave you feedback on that, you see, and you pretty much, you know, had insulted them greatly. Is what you
sure
did.
Did.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so once again, man, what we were debating about, man, is cognitive dissonance. But however, what we're going to do, we're going to introduce a guest that we have, too, that is joining us from Oakland as well. Okay, sir, with the last four of your phone number, 4118, area code 510, would you please like to chime in, sir, and give us your input on this so far?
How about that?
Okay. No, you put your microphone on.
Hello?
Hello?
No.
Yes, you on the air?
Yeah, can I elaborate a little bit on this very complex topic? I would like to say that we need to focus our attention on the effects of the government or certain interest groups' oppression on people of color. We have to really look at the effects of that, the cause and effects of the oppression, and then after we examine that, we can be able to possibly move forward. If you notice that
mm-hmm.
there was slavery here for 200 years for Europeans in this country prior to them enslaving people of color. And the thing of it is, if you notice, they do not elaborate nor show anything concerning the past. They have moved on. And what I would
mm-hmm.
like to say is once the Black intellectuals come together, have the meeting of the minds about what has happened, they need to begin to heal and to move forward. One thing for sure, we can't afford to fight amongst ourselves based on the media, okay? Jumping ship, interracial marriages, in short, okay, matters of the heart is something that no one can actually deal with. But the bottom line is, for political, social, progress, we need to embrace the past and then move forward to the future. Because if you notice, everybody else, I don't care if it's Italians, Germans, whomever, whatever the tribe is, they're not focusing their attention on being fights and served in the past. What they're concerned with is progress, okay? And we need to do the same thing. Even in the face of adversity, we need to stick together, come up with a strategy or a solution. We need to be able to barter, negotiate with other tribes, and then set our agenda and move forward. We need to move forward. The past is gone. It's you find yourself treating the past as a ball and chain. And if you keep looking at that sick period of time where all those people, both oppressor and victim, are dead, we are in the present looking towards the future. We can embrace the past, learn from the past, and then move forward. If we can do that, we will heal, and we will definitely progress. But if we just keep looking at the same old stuff, then we're just basically stuck on stupid or stuck in the mud. We can't afford to do that. This is 21st century, and this scheme of things and system of things is moving to the future. It's moving forward. We need to move forward with it. And that's my take on it in general terms. I didn't say specific terms because then I would have to comment on who wrote this book and who wrote that book and who said this and who said that. Well, we don't really, we can use all that, but what we need to do is focus on the future. What can we do and how can we fare in the future? And that's my take on it.
Well, here's the thing. The problem, I mean, what you just said, I can agree with, but the one of the problems that I have with that is, as black people, we don't have an agenda. You see, when you go to Jewish society, that you ask them, well, what's in Jewish people's best interest? They're going to talk to you about Israel. Israel's a metaphor. Israel's a metaphor for whatever it is that we believe in. If you go to Latino society, they're going to talk to you about immigration. If you go to another society, China. If you go to Chinese, they're going to talk to you about technology and China. It's about what's in best people's best interest. It's what's in their best interest. But when you go to the black agenda, what is in black people's best interest? Now, you see, of course, most black people don't vote, so they don't care about their agenda. So when we talk about politicians, they're going to put whatever politicians in office because they don't believe in voting.
I'll
get cut off again. All right, then I'm a, you know.
I'm just trying to get clear on what you're saying. Now, who are you talking about who doesn't know the right to vote?
I didn't say they don't have the right to vote. I just say they choose not to vote. That's what I said.
What group is this, they choose not to vote.
They choose not to work. They choose not to participate.
What are you talking about that we don't work?
The people that he's talking about that does not choose to vote, he's not being clear on that.
Okay, let me explain something to you, man.
Excuse me, sir. Let me explain something to you about black people and voting. Okay. The fact is, man, is that during the 1960s, man, that's how most of our people got killed, or a lot of our beautiful black women who bore sons who went out there and put up with that damn struggle, man, that you referred to, that were a bunch of whores, man, on our previous podcast and upset our female listeners. And we do not support that there, those statements that Mr. Free Peace has made on this platform. This will be the last time that we'll be having this type of subject matter right here on this. So, therefore, we're giving our callers out there, please call in here at 646-564-9630 to be heard here on Shabaka's Black Experience Enhanced. We're coming to you, you know, from here for the streets this evening out here in Oakland, California. All right, so anyway, Free Peace, is like I said, we explained to you the feedback, what we had with that. But with the statements that you made in regard to the condition of the black male because of the black female is unfit to be a mother of the of black men and things of this nature here. You know what you said on your previous shows. We don't have to rehash that. And folks, you are welcome to go listen to our previous podcast there at Shabaka's Black Experience and Hat. Just Google us and the previous episode should come up. Yeah, so anyway, for black people, we established the right for everybody else in this country to go out there to vote. That's what the Civil Rights Act and the Voting Rights Act was in 1965, so you might want to do research on that. A lot of people went out there and died and got killed and had police dogs sicked on them, man, and fire hoses sprayed on them about the right to vote, man. So once the fuck again, man, you know, where are you getting these redundant-ass statements, man? This is why I'm talking about cognitive dissonance, man. Man. Serious.
Right.
I mean, well, I'm just wrong, and black people just love to vote and get out there and vote and use numbers.
No,
so
but what it is, though, man, is that
okay, what participation
why are you wrong? Why is that and why we need to vote? I just want to know, like, why trying to say that are you trying to make us to go out there and vote? Because, you know, way back in the day, like, we didn't have any right to vote. Like we can't even go to the office trying to vote. And so you're trying
but today
you
can. But today you can vote. What's the excuse now?
Go ahead. Was actually alluding to. I think what he is referring to is what you would call a black subversive group or a small percentage group of people who, however they feel about things, have been affected by some of the things that this oppressive government as opposed to people of color. For example, the welfare system in the past. The welfare system wasn't exactly totally in it, really just in the interest of us people because the husband could not be in the home. If he was in a home, then Martha couldn't get paid. So John had to step out the house and offer Martha and her children get paid. And then if he tried to step back in there and try to, you know, flex his muscles and whatnot, well, he couldn't do that all the time because she's been conditioned to rely on, like a better word, the lab rat. And once he gives her money, you know, what can he go through? But he don't have the money. And then he's trapped in a catch-22 because if he goes in the open market, they'll say no niggas allowed. If he goes home, he can't stay there because they can't get no money. So they create games like this. And so what I'm saying to you, when they also do the drugs into the game, once they throw the drugs into the game,
that affects some black people.
But now that small diverse group is not in charge of the whole 11 or 12% of black folks in this country. Okay, it's like you got A, B, C, and D. A is the apex, you got B, it's the middle, then you got C is the bottom. Bottom line, C group is not running A and B. That's my point, okay? So you have to consider that this is a small group of people that are dismayed because of things. And then you have to recognize that this has affected some of our folks, it stifled some of our folks. And if it didn't stifle all the rest of us, because you got a quarter thinking that I read it was like 24,000 black multimillionaires and et cetera. We're in everything. We're in the White House. We're educated. We're doctors, lawyers, dentists, you name it. Every profession you just about think of, we are involved. Matter of fact, this phone that we're using and talking about was invented by a black man. So, look, you need to open up your eyes and see that there is black progress. We have played a major role in this country, and we will continue to play a major role in this country. But you got to remember that some folks, you're looking at the effects of drugs. You're looking at the effects of discrimination. You're looking at the effects of oppression, which has affected a lot of people of color. They are depressed, if you will, and they're fearful, and then they're doubtful. And see, it's not going to take one person to encourage them to do better. It's going to take a lot of us to do it in various different ways. But you cannot look at a small percentage of people and generalize and think that the masses of black folks is just in the rabbit hole. They're not. Okay, it's just a small people who are just basically discouraged. So what are you going to say about that?
All right, so what do you have to say about that, Mr. Free Peace?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Isaiah. Yeah, what do you got? Yeah, go ahead, Free Peace. Yeah, so what do you got to say about it in regards to that?
Yeah, what do you got to say? His call is live.
Okay. There. Well, anyway, as it was stated, okay, with this cognitive dissonance, as we've defined before, about facts going against core beliefs and what have you. So as we had always stated on this platform, is that it's got to become self-sufficient to compete off into the world international commerce markets, number one, which in turn will give you revenue to build up the infrastructures. And the only way for that there to happen is that we have to educate our youth as opposed to indoctrinating youth, which happens in the public and the school system. And how they're being conditioned, you know, to be put up there, as we stated before, the mass incarceration, you know, no job, no home, and what have you, the homelessness that I'm seeing out here, you know, the disparity is mighty wide. Like I said, I believe statistics was that we make up less than 20% of the state's population, but yet that we're making up damn near 53% of the homeless population.
Mm-hmm.
To say, and Free Peace had made, you know, these previous statements on our previous podcast, and you had asked them, you know, how come homeschooling won't work? Then if that won't work, then what should we do? We never got an answer for them on that.
Right.
Yeah. You see, then also too, is that we had answered his questions numerous times. You know, as me and the producer, the mad Dr. D, had explained to him, as well as the associate producer, and they refused to partake, you know, in tonight's presentation, you know, just due to this cognitive dissonance.
That's right. Right.
See, but I understand.
I
try
to explain to him, too.
Okay. Yeah, but you see, but that's just it, though. You're younger than him, and you understand it.
Right. Right.
10 times better than he does.
Right. Because
And then you see that they'll have us look at ourselves in a different viewpoint of what you currently have, you know, over the course of a generation. And then you have that generation, you know, passing on down the knowledge that they're acquiring.
Right. Like, yeah,
Yeah, as Dr. Marin Brani has said in her works called the Yorugu, the Ma'amba, which is a disaster so bad and so great beyond description in regard to the horrors of the transatlantic slave holocaust. You see what I mean?
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
But the chaos, you know, that we went through trying to keep a family structure together, trying to keep a lifestyle together, staying alive and what have you, you know, under these extreme adverse conditions.
Yep.
And we're waiting on, you know, his responses on that. Are you there, Mr. Free Peace?
Hello?
I'm here.
Yeah, okay, so what do you know? We're giving you the floor, sir.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
You got 3 minutes.
Then what's going on?
I'm just waiting to. I mean, there's nothing else left for me to say. You know, just. I mean, like I said, I spoke to him about the agenda and all that stuff, and everybody else has an agenda but us. So, and until we get a real agenda. And actually enforcing that, like I said, a lot of stuff is not going to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. All right. Well, like I said before, man, is that you got to, you know, change the educational structure for our youth. You know, like an elementary school, high school, you know, they need to teach more skills.
Yeah.
In high school, you know, to make up their men, you know, more employable.
They also need to make they also need to make one of those after school programs back.
Yeah,
because
well, that
I remember,
you see, they cut a lot of programs on that. You see, you know, to give the youth something positive to do, you know, than otherwise than being idle with time. And this in turn, you know, this year invites a lot of these, you know,
Because I remember when I went to school, they had that after school program. Trying to teach the kids to stay out of trouble, so they don't be hanging out on the streets and stuff. Now that we don't have that no more, like it's crazy. They just want our youth to be producers. They just want them out on the streets, like, which is like really a bad thing. Like it's crazy because I be seeing that mostly every day.
Go ahead, Leon. Just something.
What I want to say also is that, see, we're gonna need.
No, you gotta take it off the speaker. Yeah. You know, you're on. Yeah. But you're on your speaker.
Yeah. I hear some noise in the background.
I have to go over here?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay, now I can see. Okay. Yeah, what I want to say is, as I said before, we need, one thing for sure is African-American people are going to have to, as I say, embrace the past. They're going to have to take a hit and their share of the responsibility of the task. You can't just go into now and say, oh, that didn't happen or that happened. You know, yeah, it's impressive, but there's some things that black folks have done also in the course of that. But in terms of turning on each other, see what I'm saying? It's not that you nor I have the problem, okay? We're in an arena with someone that's trying to divide and conquer us, okay? So, and in the course of doing that, some of us got played. And so some of us going to have to face the fact that we as people of color, neither one of us have the problem. It's the oppressor. We can identify who the oppressor is who's causing all this problem. Now we can address that. And then we're going to have some pros, very professional, educated people of color who can address these atrocities and these matters much better than we can from a professional point of view, not from a primitive point of view, and hopefully gain some ground where programs, all types of things can be established where our folks, again, can progress. That's my attitude about it. If it's going to be done, like your brother said, Brother Rob said, it's got to be done from an educated point of view. It cannot be from an ignorant point of view.
Huh? Yeah, okay, yeah, go ahead there.
Hello.
As I guess Paula was calling in. Okay, but as it said here, you know, with this cognitive distance.
Yeah.
That's a danger, you know, within itself, you see. And looking back at our scholars and a lot of the knowledge that they try to take away, you know, from
right.
us, you see, have took away from us. You know, things of that nature right there.
Right.
You know.
They told us that we kind of be paid. And, like, I remember back in the day, they did let one of the tools, too.
Yeah.
They always put up signs, they white only and stuff.
Right.
So they didn't want us to go today to the public schools.
Right. And then of course, as you know, always up in the inner cities, they always underfunded, you know, purposely.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the materials and books and things of that nature.
Right.
Learning materials, you know, are outdated. It's substandard education, and as we know that I've seen in my lifetime, at least for the last 40 or 50 years, if I just systematically, you know, having getting trained, you know, to go off into the prison industrial complex system.
Saying
this is why they took away the automotive classes, you know, took away basically where you learn some basic skills to go out there and make a living for yourself or have a trade or a skill. So once they took away that opportunity for them out there to make some money, you know, or whatnot, then they had to illicit hustles and grab and corruption and stuff like that that they could grow up with. And, you know, and I've seen this cycle go on and on and on just in my lifetime, like I said, you know, for the last 40 years.
Right.
So, and as I stated on social media before, is that we in the last 50 years, we as a people have regressed 100 years. That's incredible.
That's right. That's crazy.
Yeah. Said, I mean, and then when we try to explain, you know, to Brother Free Peace, then we answered his question in your time. And, you know, we got the brother on here, and you know, he's more than welcome to speak and give us his input, but so far we don't hear him saying nothing. You got anything to say there, Free Peace?
My cat's just called drop again.
Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway.
All right.
Well, appreciate it. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I also have one other comment that he's overlooked, and that's the fact that we're still here. We're not annihilated. We're not wiped out. We're not put on reservations. None of that stuff. So he needs to look at a lot of our ancestors' accomplishments before he assumes that there is no agenda, because there is an agenda here. That's why you have some of us as mail carriers. We are commercial drivers, and et cetera. We have various occupations and professions and things. And so we're everywhere. So the bottom line is you need to recognize that there is agenda here. There's just some folks that are, in the scheme of things, are discouraged because, yes, there is this presence of discrimination and racism, et cetera. You're not going to convince everybody to do the right thing. But I'm certain that there are many people that are humanitarians that feel strongly that your rights should be activated in this country. Now, we have folks in the White House, everywhere. So he needs to, I think, he needs to actually do some research and look at the accomplishments of his folks. Then he has to actually look at himself and decide what can he do for Fiji as opposed to looking at everybody else.
Thank you.